John, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you false on my account. For rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends, may God gift you with wisdom, courage, and strength to live out your baptismal calling. Amen. There was a movie performed and seen a few years ago that starred Bill Murray, right? And it wasn't a golf movie, even though Bill Murray is in a lot of golf movies. No, this movie was called St. Vincent. And it was put out about, as I said, 2 years ago, I think it was. And it was about a young boy finding a mentor in his neighborhood after his parents had become divorced. And the mentor that was pictured in the film is a cantankerous, loud, irascible war veteran. And the movie ends with the boy honoring this man, his mentor, by featuring him in a class project on saints. The movie really raises the issue and the question of who we really revere in society. As we celebrate and mark the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and the contributions of Martin Luther, we pick up one of his key ideas that he gleaned from the Apostle Paul, and this movie, St. Vincent, highlights this point. Because it says that we view all Christians simultaneously as saints and sinners. Just as the young boy surprised the audience by naming Vincent as a saint, God continually surprises us by calling each of us a saint through our baptism. Then I remember an article a couple of years ago, I think it was in the Christian Century magazine, and it was about the experience of a writer as he told the story about Mother Teresa. And he assumed that covering this story of the extraordinary saint-like woman who gave her life in serving the poor in India, he thought that this would be a fascinating story that would unfold. Well, he interviewed her colleagues who had known her when she was a high school principal. And was he ever disappointed? Because few of those folks could even remember who she was. And those who did remember could only talk about the fact that she was very, very ordinary. It was surprising and disappointing to this writer. It does, however, shed light on our understanding of who saints are, in a real sense, very, very ordinary people. What separates saints from others is simply an active trust in God and a conviction that God guides and directs their lives. So today is set aside for all saints. We remember the whole people of God, as we say, the church militant and the church triumphant, those who have gone before us, as well as all of us who are called to live in faith and service. Saints, who are they? Not those of a perfect moral character necessarily, but who God has called out to boldly claim and live out God's love in Christ. How do you feel about being called a saint? I remember in seminary, we used to have a fun time with that, calling each of us saints. I remember Saint Harold, Saint Thomas. They called me Saint Paul, right? That was fun. Well, this day is about calling to mind special people in our lives through whom God has moved. Who are those persons who have especially influenced your life? Who have made a unique Christian witness? We remember family members, teachers, and others who have given us values to live by, abilities and direction. Who are those who offered words of comfort in the midst of our own anxiety? Who are those who taught us love mostly by loving us? Those who actually forgave and forgot. We remind one another today of persons who have died in the past year from or who were related in some way to this community of faith. And as Pastor Dan indicated, that number for this year is 17. And actually, it was 13 last year. We look to them not because of lives of perfection, but as people of faith who accepted and sought to live out God's promises. The passage in Revelation read today paints a beautiful picture of the living relationship between Christ and those who have died in the faith. Christ tends to them as their shepherd. He guides them to springs of the water of life, as the text indicates. Every sorrow and hurt they have known in life is taken up and restored by love. As a beloved parent to a beloved child, God wipes away every tear from their eyes. The word saint is biblically associated in the New Testament as it demonstrated practical love and service. We see that particularly in the Apostle Paul's letters as he comments on the care given to one another and particularly given to those in need. We have heard it in the gospel text today, and I call it the gospel in eight. We refer to it as the Beatitudes, the Magna Carta of the kingdom, the manifesto of the king, and again we have referred to this section as the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, we have the core and the essence of Jesus' teaching. In other words, he's talking about what life in the kingdom of God is and what it is to be like. This is the message that the disciples were to take to the world. And it was not a one-time speech, but rather a summary of expectations and promises of life in the reign of God. We can take note that Matthew's rapid-fire account is taken by the gospel writer Luke and placed throughout his entire gospel account. as if it was absolutely too much to take it in at one time. And it's true. It's a lot to handle. All of the blessings, all of the categories that are indicated. Poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for God's favor, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. That's not a very attractive list, is it? There was no pie in the sky, by and by theology indicated here by Jesus. Where is the reward in all of that? What about riches, guarantees, security, promotions, living a retired life? Maybe it doesn't pay to have faith. That could be our reflection on Jesus' challenges for us. Remember the song, which was also a book, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden? Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime. Well, it speaks of the ups and downs of life, the giving and the taking, jubilation and sorrow, great times and not so great. It's reality. Remember in Charlie Brown how Lucy responds to him, and he says, life has its ups and downs. And Lucy curtly shouts out, but I want ups and ups and ups. A key part of Jesus' teaching is, I never promised you it would be all roses, in describing the kingdom of God. And yet, he is bold to say, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. It overturns an assumption by many that belief in Jesus, having faith, assures one of a trouble-free life, a bliss-like existence. Happy are those who mourn, the meek, those who serve, those who show mercy, those who work for peace, who suffer, who are insulted, who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom. Their reward is great in heaven. As we read along in this list, we reflect that Jesus seems to be saying that his followers will receive extra suffering, more life's hard knocks, in order to underline their dependence on him who gives them grace and love. How can that be happy or blessed? It seems to be sacrifice and hard times. But then we are introduced to different values, the gifts of the kingdom, God's mercy, eternal promises, sharing in God's work, seeing that love active in our lives, in our world, as we get caught up in the causes for which Jesus gave his life, as we carry out that love actively in the world. These almost hard-nosed blessings make no mistake about saying that blessing, yes, blessing comes in the present moment, however complicated or compromised that moment might be. The blessing comes to each of us. A colleague of mine wrote about our accepting these traits as our own, and I call it a contemporary version of these teachings. She said, we who believe in the promises of God are marked in certain ways. We are poor in spirit, humbly recognizing our dependence on God in a world where independence and self-reliance are favored. We are people who mourn our own sinfulness and the brokenness of the world. We are the meek who selflessly strive toward the well-being of others in a society where nice guys finish last. We are people who hunger and thirst when cheating and deception are accepted ways of getting ahead. And we are the merciful who forgive others who have wronged us in a culture where differences are now settled in court. We are the pure in heart, single-mindedly committed to God instead of separating religious life from daily life. We are the peacemakers who seek mutual understanding between people and nations in a world where peace is sought only through strengths. And we are the persecuted, who struggle to uphold values and lifestyles which fly in the face of society's values, And then she concludes by saying, that we could be happy being who we are seems extraordinary to a world where violence, greed, and self-interest have become the norm. Now, it may seem presumptuous to suggest that we do practice these virtues, and yet these words are directed to us as it describes the nature of those who follow Jesus. And they are the signs evident in each of us who trust in the promises of God as saints, living out our faith, keeping that faith as God's saints means being alive to the Spirit, who continually loves, forgives, reconciles, and calls us to actions as God's people. That living Spirit comes to each of us at every moment and helps us live our lives in faithfulness. Are we open to that contemporary living Spirit that seeks to use us in unique ways? This is our way of life, not seeking immediate rewards, but seeking to serve and thereby receiving eternal promises. In Mother Teresa's book called A Gift for God, she says this, in a prayer-like way, put yourself completely under the influence of Jesus so that Jesus may think his thoughts in your mind, do his work through your hands, for you will be all-powerful with him to strengthen you. Amen. Now we sing together this hymn, Lord, Here I Am, as we seek to respond to this challenge.